greet you in Jesus' name. This morning, it's good to be gathered together in the house of God. It's good to see the house well filled. And I want to say a special welcome to the Rosenberry family. Brother Marvin, Sister Lydia Ann, that is a really wonderful privilege to be able to have your family, a large family, gathered together to worship in such a like manner. It's a blessing. I think the scripture says it's the glory of an old man to be able to look at your children's children. And as I look across the audience, I see a lot of children's children that all stemmed from a man and a lady that met together in front of the church and said, I will. I will love. I will cherish. I don't know what life's going to bring to me, but I promise I will care for each other. And I will love to the end of time. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. It's wonderful to have you in our church. And I had to think of Psalm 78. It said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who would arise and declare them to be to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It just talks about the generations to come. Generations, the children's children, the unborn children's not even yet here yet, because of the influence of two people. But that can be said for all of you married people here this morning. Two people that have vows that they probably didn't really understand what they meant, but they just wanted to get married. We were all there. Yes, we truly met them, but life has a way of bringing real-life situations. And through that all, we see God leading and see God directing. And that is my thoughts this morning. This title I simply have is The Steps of a Good Man. Because my mind has been thinking about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can turn with me to Psalm 37, very simple sermon here this morning. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's Psalm 37, verse 23. I invite you to turn there. All of us can see God working and directing our lives. Probably what took my mind to this verse was this past weekend. Some of you knew I had a school reunion. Hasn't happened in, I think, 37 years ago? Something like that. I thought I wrote it down, but 34 years ago. 34 years ago, I found myself in ninth grade at Antrim Mennonite School. It was my last year of school there. And we had a school reunion, and they wanted to bring everyone back that was at that segment of school. And so we went, and I got to see people there that I haven't seen in a long time. But it kind of got my mind spinning just a little bit. To think about 34 years ago, I was this 15-year-old young boy that was pretty excited to be in the upper grades at school. And you know, life stretched before me, and I really didn't know what life was going to bring to me. I don't even know if I thought about life too much. I did know that God would come back before I could get married, and I thought that would be a shame. You probably all had them thoughts. I really do remember thinking that. But you know, after a bit, you were 15, you were 16, you were 17, and life continued to lead. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God has a way of just taking us and leading us and directing us in spite of who we are, in spite of our failures, in spite of our shortcomings. Went to that school reunion. And we had a good time. It was good to see my old school friends. But But I just had to think about all the changes, because back when we went to school, none of us were married. And I thought about all the different ways that life had affected all my school friends. Our lives took different directions. Our lives, God took us down different paths. That was my last year of schooling. And the following year is when Pilgrim Conference started. And my family made a choice to leave that church setting, and we came here. And that started me down a different path than the rest of my school siblings, friends. Most of you here this morning can identify with that, because most of you here have made choices to identify with a different group than what you grew up with. And it started you down a different path. I'm not saying it was a wrong path. I'm saying it took you down a path. You chose a course. You started down a road. And when you start down a road, you're going to get to that end of that road. And my question is this morning, probably the burden of my heart is, are you going to be where you want to be when you get to the end of your path? God has put us into this world. God has given us just a little bit of time. And God is leading and directing. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I think about all the changes that have taken place. The changes in my life. The changes in church life. The changes in our country. The changes in, you know, we don't like change. We like things to stay the same, but life will always change. You're just going to have to accept it. Embrace it. Because life is going to change. Nothing stays the same. We can't control life. I wrote down, life is out of control. Life is out of my control. And the only thing I can control is the path, the course that I'm going to walk, the way I'm going to respond to life. Life is so much out of our control. Our health. We can't control health. We can't control life. You know, you can be the richest man in the world and you can have the worst health. Money cannot buy you health. And it's only God is the one that can guide us and give us the health, give us life. We can't control money. We all think probably we could have more of it. And God just has a way of, every time we think we have a little bit, he just kind of has a way of taking a little bit. And we say, well, more bills. Life. We can't control it. We try so hard. A little poem says, the future lies before you like a field of driven snow. Be careful how you tread on it, for every step will show. And so, you know, when it snows, it's so pretty because you can go out there and you can make paths at school. We love to do that. We'd go out there and we'd make trails all through the snow. And then we would play tag on our trails. It's because your path would show as you walk through the snow. But our steps, the steps of a good man, are making imprints in our past, in our history. And every step is showing the direction of travel, the direction where we want to go. What is your path showing? Are you walking forward, walking toward God, drawing closer to him? Or are you out here just walking in circles? Maybe we don't even know it. Or maybe there's all kinds of ways. We could run, we could jump, and in snow, it shows it all. Just ponder your life, the changes that have happened in the last year, the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. There's just too many to enumerate. I had to think about the changes just in this congregation of two funerals we had just this past year. that makes us think about the seriousness of life, that makes us think about the paths that we choose to walk. Are we going to be where we want to be when God calls us home? We think about our health. We already talked about that. We can't control our health and sickness. We can't control our government. We can't control the political scenes. And as much as we want to live in good old USA, it's a pretty corrupt place to live. It's a pretty ungodly place to live. And we cannot have our confidence in this country. Our country is a corrupt country. The only place we can have confidence is in Jesus Christ. We cannot start this mindset that we live in a godly country and the things that our president and government does is godly. They are ungodly people, and God is working in their hearts to accomplish his will and his purpose. We can see God working there, and we should be looking for that. But we live in an ungodly society, and that has a way of rubbing off on us. And think about all the things that have happened in the last 10 years, the ungodliness that has affected our society. We're talking about change. We're talking about things that we can't control. The unstable government. We can think about Y2K. And there's an entire generation that looked at me and said, "What's that?" And you know, back when I got married, it was extremely scary. I was only married for 1 year, and we didn't know what was going to happen. Y2K, things were going to shut down. We had preachers preaching on this pulpit of how you were to prepare for Y2K, year 2000. Computers couldn't understand it. Electric was going to shut off. Governments were going to crash. Things were going to happen, and you just didn't know. And I remember a preacher saying, "You be prepared to give food to your neighbors and to be show Christ's love." I mean, it's going to be chaos out there. Changes. Technology. You think about all the technology that just happened in the past 30 years. We live in a world of so much change. But this morning, I want to tell you something. There's one thing in life that never changes, and that's our God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can bank on it. We can trust him. God has never left us down. Everything else in life, whether it's your people or friends or relation or government or church sometimes, eventually, people will let you down. People will disappoint you. People that you had the utmost trust in will let you down. But my Jesus will never let you down. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same as he was for old man Abraham. All those generations up through, God and Jesus has done the same thing. He's always been faithful. He has never, never left anyone down. That brings confidence. For an illustration of this, I think it was this past Thanksgiving. I was together with the Shank family, and we were enjoying a good time. And we were sitting around a table playing a game, and I was sitting on an old antique chair. And I was playing the game. And all of a sudden, my brother opened his mouth and he said, "Oh," and about that time, my chair just went to pieces. The legs went one way, the back went another, and I hit the floor. I mean, no warning. It just was bang. That does not build confidence. Jesus has never done that to you. You can bank on it. You can put your entire life, your entire energy, everything on Jesus. He will never blow apart on you. After I hit the floor, I banged my head on the table behind, made a terrible racket, and everybody thought it was terribly funny. And the next chair I got sat on, I picked it up, I looked at it, gingerly sat on it, made sure it was secure. And you can imagine, if you're going to sit on a chair, you want it to support yourself. And when you have a bad experience, you don't really trust. God will never let you down. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we think about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. He cares about his people. And when we're talking about the steps of man, I wanted to say this in the beginning. It's mankind. We could be talking about women. I'm not going to keep saying man or woman. But when I use that word man, I am talking about mankind. Everyone here, God is directing. God is delights in watching us walk. Now I'm going to circle around a few other verses. Turn with me to Proverbs. Very familiar verse in Proverbs 3. We're thinking about life. We're thinking about how God directs his people. And we have this verse in Proverbs 3. I was sitting in my living room yesterday thinking about this sermon, and I looked on the wall, and my wife had put this scripture verse on our wall. And I love it. It is just so fitting. Proverbs 3, verse 5. You know it by heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, we get ourselves into so many predicaments because we try to figure out life on our own. We want to figure out the answers. We want to figure out the path forward. We don't like the path God's put us on, and we try to figure it out. But this verse is saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. I think this would be a good mission statement to have for your personal life. Do you know what a mission statement is? A mission statement is often used for businesses. For a business to set goals or priorities and say, this is what we want to do for our business. This is our goal. This is how we try to please. Well, the internet said, a mission statement is valuable because it clearly defines a company's purpose, guiding its actions and decisions. It provides a sense of direction, motivates employees, and helps stakeholders understand the organization's core values and priorities. And I believe that this would be a good mission statement for each one of our lives as we're thinking about the future. Walking the course that God has put us on, the path God has put us on. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This world's mission statements are quite interesting to look at. Chick-fil-A has a mission statement that says, their purpose is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us. That's their mission statement. You can find it online. They want to be a faithful steward of God. And we know that it was formed on godly principles. That's what Chick-fil-A was founded on. McDonald's mission statement is to make a delicious feel-good moment easy for everyone. Quite a difference there. But your mission statement will define what your values and your goals are for life. And is your value and your goal to follow the Lord, to draw closer to him, or just to make yourself feel good and easy with life? What is your mission statement for your own personal life? Going back to this verse just a little bit, trust in the Lord. Trust is fully surrendering ourselves to God. Whatever he brings into your life, whether it's, well, you know, the things you're struggling with, the things that is the big, difficult thing in your life, trust in the Lord. Fully surrender to him. I think trust means putting everything, our hopes, our plans, our concerns into God's hands. This trust, it's a deep inner assurance that I don't understand, but God does. I'm trusting Him. There's a song that talks about try God. We could say it like this, just let go and let God. So many times I want to control life. I want to make sure I get out of life what I want. But is my path what God wants for me? Turn over to Proverbs 5. It's another verse. It talks about the ways of man, verse 21, Proverbs 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The ways of man, or the steps of man. We could say another way of saying it is the choices of man. The things that we decide to do, the places we decide to go, the ways, the choices of man, man's paths are before the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord is in the heavens and he's looking down and he takes great interest in his children, just as us parents do. We love watching the progress of our children. We care about our children. And so the Lord's looking down and he's watching his children learn how to walk. You know, a little one-year-old stumbles around a little bit. And as parents, we put out our hands and we catch them. And they toddle around and we go for it. Yes, you're doing good. I think that's a picture of who God is. God is looking at his children and he's pondering their path. And he's watching us stumble around sometimes. And he's saying, child, you're doing fine. Keep on going. And there's other times that he reaches down and he undergirds us. Maybe we don't feel it that way. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. For each one of us, God is pondering our path. And he knows exactly where we are in life and where we are and how close we are to eternity. None of us know when God ponders and says, your time on earth is ended. That was another thought that was going through my mind. When I think about my school reunion, I have to think about one of my school friends. His name was Thomas Eby, and he is no longer with us. He was 16 years old, and he was a troubled youth. Those of you that, some of you might hear, might know Thomas Eby. He was in my grade at school. 16-year-old, just got his license, bought his little first car, and was driving through an intersection on Shields Road, and some other big Lincoln ran an intersection and hit him in the driver's door, and his life was ended. 16-year-old. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. God knows where we are in light of eternity. And God don't always do things the way we think he should do. But some reason God seemed fit to bring Thomas's life to an end. Was Thomas a church member? No. Was Thomas ready to meet God? Only God knows. He had a path before him, young man, young woman, that he had to make a choice. And he made choices in his life. And for some reason, God said, your time on life, on this earth, is finished. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's just another verse that's talking about as men, we try to figure out life. We try to make the best choices. But God has a way of shaping it. He takes our decisions. He takes our choices. He said, God knows why we're doing what we're doing, but he shapes and directs and guides. And that's comforting to a child of God, to some, I'm talking to believers here this morning, people that are putting their heart and their life in Jesus Christ because he never lets us down. And so we make choices accordingly and we walk the path of life. Let's go back to Psalm 37 where we started. Psalm 37 was wrote by David. And David was trying to understand life. David was frustrated with life. You know David. David's life didn't turn out like he expected at all. He was a young man that wanted to serve the Lord, but was hated by the king. King Saul hunted him down. David was a man that tended the sheep, and he was out at night. And I tend to think that's when he wrote a lot. I didn't try to figure out when this psalm was wrote. But he did a lot of pondering life, and he would sit out there at night, he'd look up into them stars, and he would think about God. He didn't have any cell phones, didn't have any computers, didn't have Spotify, didn't have any earbuds. It was just quiet. It was just David and God pondering life. We need to do more of that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Starting in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. That word fret is to get yourself all worked up into a hot heat. It's like where you got friction and you rub your hands together and it get hot. It's like, don't get yourself all in a hot about things that are happening around you. If you look that word up, that's what it means. To grow warm, to burn, to blaze up. Fret not thyself because of all the evil things, but think about who God is. For the evil people, for the nations around us, those that are not loving God, they shall be soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So therefore, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent down their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy, and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And it goes on. It's contrasting the righteous and the ungodly around. And how David was, he was thinking about this, how the righteous, how the ungodly feels like, you know, they have everything going for them. And yet when he really pondered life, he realized their end. There's nothing there. The steps of a good man. I'd like just to think about the steps. Think about when it says the steps. I want to just tear that apart a little bit. Thinking about steps. The steps. You know, it says the steps. And if I would say the clock, it would draw your attention to the clock. This verse is drawing the attention to the steps. You could look at everything else about a man, but the psalmist is saying, look at his steps. Because the steps of a man tell you something about who that man is. The steps. It draws your attention to it. It shows the direction of travel. Steps show progress. A lot of people like to check how many steps they get in a day because it's progress. It shows you're doing something. Maybe you get 5,000 steps in a day. Maybe you get 10,000. Maybe you get 15,000 steps in. And it tells you something about the individual. If I told you I had 2,000 steps in today, you would just smile. And you're thinking, Vernon, don't do much. If I told you I got 15,000 steps in, you'd say, wow, he's pretty active. The steps of a man show you something about a man. It shows you the progress. It shows you the choices that man is making. Every time we want to go somewhere, I mean, it's elementary, but it takes steps. If I want to go home, I got to go out the door. It's going to take some steps to get there. Everywhere you want to go in life, it's going to take steps. And so the psalmist is saying, think about the steps. The steps. Even the littlest steps begin to show a trajectory and eventually a course. And so we can be taking steps toward God. Just little steps. And that's my mind goes there. To think about my life since I got out of school. I think about my friend's life. I think about your life. The little steps that we take every day. It's charting a course. And is it drawing me closer to God? Or is my trajectory away from God and toward this world? My steps will show that. Don't fool yourself into thinking that I'm walking to God when my steps show something else. If I were to ask, I'm sure all of you would say yes. My steps are taking me closer to God. But in truth, in reality, are they? Are you making the necessary choices, decisions in life, that when you get to the end of your road, that you're going to be where you want to be? Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a preacher of righteousness. Jonah wanted to do the right thing. And Jonah fooled himself into thinking that I can go east when God said go west. Did he get where he wanted to go? Well, he did. Because he didn't want to do what God said to do. He wanted to get as far away as possible, and God left him do it. God lets us make our own choices for our steps. God doesn't make us go anywhere we don't want to go. But he's keenly observant to our decisions. And he continues in spite of our shortcomings. We'll get to that part. None of us are perfect. The steps of a good man. And I like this because the steps of a good man are walking together with God. God has a plan And is it the plan that I'm on? And in the perfect world, my steps and God's plan for me are walking together. But there are times when we veer off because of my own selfish will. And God pulls us back. God brings stumbling blocks. And God continues to work with us in spite of who we are. It says he delights. He delighteth in his way. And so God delights in watching you walk. I thought about having that as my title. God delights in watching you walk. Because he watches. Just as we enjoy watching our toddlers begin to walk, it brings a lot of delight. And so God takes keen interest in our steps. Just little steps. The old saying says it like this: sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an action and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reach a destiny. We often think that the little things we do in life doesn't matter, but it's the little steps that begin to set a course for our life. And eventually, it will show where our destiny is. The steps of a good man. Let's think about a good man. If I were to ask for a raise of hands, how many of you are a good man? You know, I don't know if any of us feel like we're a good man or a good woman. But under the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven and our lives can be perfect. And we can be a good person in the sight of God. We can be accepted in the sight of God in spite of man. Man, we have a lot of problems. And when I read this and I think about the steps of a good man and I'm thinking about my steps and how many times I've messed up, I just want to hang my head. Women, you're probably better, but men, we've got just a lot of problems. The steps of a good man is a good man is a man that understands his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he understands that he needs Jesus every day to make him a good man. And as he walks with Jesus and as he allows the Lord to change his life, as he humbles himself and admits his faults and his failures, he can become a good man, and the steps can be ordered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered, and so I want to think about are ordered. What does that mean? Are ordered. Maybe you could think of it, there are several ways we could think about it. I could think about a boss ordering his employees around. And I don't think that's what this is talking about. But our minds can go there pretty quickly. Of a bossy old boss that just, you know, nobody can do life right, and everything the employees do is wrong. And the boss is just always ordering our people around. That's not who Jesus is. Our Lord is more like a guide, someone that cares about, and so he orders our life in a systematic way. He puts order to our life, and he stacks us together and puts the pieces together, and he's a guide. He's someone there that wants to help, and so he's ordering our life. He's a faithful person. We talked about someone that we can trust. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. And we don't mind. It's somebody that we trust. And so as a guide, we want him to tell us what to do. We want Jesus Christ to be there. And when we're stumbling and flailing around in life, when the difficulties of life get us down, we want someone there to say, this is the way to go. We want somebody to be a guide. We want somebody to order us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord is the only stable influence that we have. It's there, as men, I already said, we're so prone to error. We tend to fall. We tend to come so short of what God wants. But the Lord is always there. The Lord is always faithful. The Lord never lets us down. This here is the stability of this verse. We could say the steps of a good man are ordered by the preachers, and that means nothing. But because it's ordered by the Lord, that puts stability. There's confidence there that I can walk into the future. It's one thing to reflect, but it's another thing to think about the future, to think about everything that I might have to face in my life. Each one of you have a future, and we're all facing life together, but we have the Lord. We have the stability of the Lord. And so we have to have the Lord part of our life. We have to allow the Lord to cleanse our life. Make him a part of your life. He delighteth in his way. And so we have the Lord. And we read the verse, how the Lord is watching your path. And it brings the Lord great delight to see his children walk in the path that they have chosen. God takes personal joy in your journey. We tend to think God is some big God that's sitting on the heavens, and does he really care about me? But the scriptures are full of thoughts that God cares about his children, that God does care about your journey, that God does care what you're going through. He does care about the path that you're on, and he cares about whether our path is going the right direction. Your path is not boring to God. This word that he brings delight. You know, the fun things of life bring us delight. Maybe it's just a plain banana split at the end of a hot day. It just can really bring a lot of delight. You just sit there and you look at that and you just, so good. It's just like God just smiles. God just loves it. He looks down and he watches his people walking and crying out to him. And it brings him delight. He just smiles and he said, that's my child. He's following me. He wants me to help him. His delight is in his way. God's delight, the Lord's delight with our life, brings us strength. It brings us strength. We don't have to face life by ourselves. Though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I don't know what your life, what you're facing in life right now. All of us have different situations in life. But God is there guiding, directing. And I trust as you face the future that you will let God lead your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and his delight is in his way. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.